88.9 WLRY. Joining us now, a very special guest. We have Crowder, and he is part of Winter Jam, which is coming January 21st to the Schottenstein Center in Columbus. And welcome. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Absolutely. It's being included. I appreciate that. We can't wait.
Now, a question I didn't get to ask you last time we spoke. What kind of Christmas music did you listen to growing up? Did you have some favorite Christmas albums there?
Absolutely. Bing Crosby and yeah. Elvis.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be it. Bing Crosby, he's the deal. That White Christmas stuff.
Right, man, yeah.
That takes me back immediately. I'm smelling cocoa right now thinking about it.
I actually have the Elvis Christmas CD in my van right now, so that's one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
Well, the new album's called American Prodigal, and I was watching on YouTube. Very interesting. You were explaining the American Prodigal title. Of course, the American part kind of just professes your pride of being an American, but you had an interesting definition for prodigal, the actual meaning of prodigal, that I think some of us might not realize.
Well, I didn't realize it either because, I'd heard this that parable when I was a little kid in Sunday school growing up, the story really didn't change for my whole life until about, it's probably been a year ago now. I was in our church in Atlanta, Georgia. I go to a church called Passion City Church, mm-hmm. and Louis Giglio was our pastor, and he said that the word prodigal is also an adjective that means lavished upon. And for me, that changed the whole deal. It turned it from like a story of rebellion to one of inheritance. And I just feel like anybody that's got their feet on the soil of the United States of America, we've been lavished upon. We've got a lot to be responsible for.
Amen.
And that's really where that whole the two words got married together.
Yeah. Now, have you had a chance to tour the world, David, and see other parts of the world that are perhaps not as blessed as we are?
That is true. Yes. Yeah. In fact, with the Passion Gang, I've had the fortune to go overseas a number of times. We've done a few world tour dates with these guys, and for sure the Philippines. I mean, I just remember being in Manila, thinking, my goodness, this is a different scene altogether. It sure does open your eyes to a lot of what we take for granted, and it shifts stuff, and that's what I feel like is if we've got a lot in our hands, a lot's been placed in our hands, and I think if we live with our hands open, that what we've been given isn't ours anyway, then we sure do get closer to that loving your neighbor as yourself kind of thing.
Yeah, amen. Again, Crowder joining us, and you're currently on the road as we talk to you in Pennsylvania, I believe, on a Christmas tour. Then when does Winter Jam start up for you,
we get going on the Winter Jam tours right towards the first of the year.
Okay.
We'll kick off the year with the Passion Conference. We're doing a big collegiate conference in Atlanta at the Dome, mm-hmm. and then right after we're done with Passion, we hit the road with the Winter Jam folks. So it's going to be a fun start to the year.
Now, you've played arenas, you've played smaller venues. What's the difference as far as the stage presence? Do you put on a different show in an arena as far as the way you work the stage as to a smaller venue, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, to me, the smaller ones, there's just more. It's just more personal. I get more nervous in a small setting. Give me 20 people in the room, and I'm terrified. But in the arena, there's just so much energy, and for us and the kind of music that we're doing, it's just amazing to get to hear the church sing. So there's just so much coming back at you in a bigger venue like that. And really, we just feel like what we're trying to do is just facilitate the church's response to God through music, and as I said, man, when the church starts singing, it just doesn't get much better than that. So they're two different animals, that's for sure. And I think I just approach probably the crafting of a set list differently, knowing that there's going to be a different climate in a big room as opposed to a small, more intimate setting.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I take it you don't play the same set list every time.
That's true. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Again, Crowder joining us, and he is going to be on Winter Jam. That is coming up to the Schottenstein Center January 21st. quite a lineup there. And how did you become part of Winter Jam? Does New Song just call you up and ask you to be part of it?
I think it's me. I think I'm always calling them. If they let me do that for the rest of my life, I'd be real happy about it. You know, and we just have fallen in love with those guys. I mean, just what they do is they love people really well. Behind the scenes is when that's what I'm most excited about. You know, getting to play music every day is a beautiful thing. But, man, being on the road with all these folks that have just been doing this a good while, they know what they're doing, and they know how to love it on people really well. And there's just a family and a community that takes place backstage, and they've got it now. They know how to put people in the right place at the right time, and you might wind up with friends for life. It's a good deal.
You know, and your tour mates, Britt Nicole, 10th Avenue North, got Andy Mineo, Colton Dixon, Thousand Foot Crutch, of course, New Song, OBB, Sarah Reeves, Stephen Malcolm, and Sadie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. Have you had an opportunity to meet the Robertsons before?
I have. When we were out there in Louisiana, there in West Monroe, and we got to go out to Feeling Keg's place, and it was hysterical. It was probably a number of years ago, probably like, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we walk in that door, and on the counter is a big silver bowl full of skinned squirrels floating in water. I was like, okay, well, there you go. There's a real deal.
Authentic,
like,
yes.
This is like the show.
Yeah.
And Bill's over there sitting in this camouflage lazy boy with his, you know, white T-shirt on that is obviously what he was wearing while skinning squirrels, as it's got a large amount of blood on it. No shoes, all folded up on his lazy boy there. He didn't get up. He's just like, hey, boys, come on in. I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is fantastic.
The real deal.
Exactly. That is the truth.
Well, tell me about your devotion life on the road. I mean, when you're constantly getting up, you're either sound checking, perhaps doing a meet and greet or the concert. How do you fit your devotion life into all that?
Oh, man, I never let anybody complain about our lifestyle. It's like basically you're just waiting around to play. You know, most of your life is just waiting.
Yeah.
you're gonna play for maybe an hour and a half or so. And yeah, you got sound checks and all that stuff. But that for the folks in the band, it's a pretty generous way to go about living. And so what I love about it, especially when you're in a setting like this, where, man, I've got some of the best people I've ever been around on the planet on this tour with us. And so when the conversation has the time to push each other to be, you know, just trying to be more like Jesus, follow this person in scripture that we read of. And when you have the opportunity and ability to have enough time in your day where it's just part of what you're talking about, you know, day in, day out. That's part of what it's just part of life, because that's what you're doing anyway. You're trying to help the church sing. And so a lot of the topics around the bus and venues are centered around how can we do that better? How can we connect people to Jesus in a way that is going to fit their life forever? You know, that's the thing that we're trying to do. So yeah, the devotion side of it is pretty simple. I mean, we have so much time to read and discuss, and that's just, as I said, it's just part of life, I guess, in a very fortunate way. You know, I think about my dad. He sold insurance, had an insurance agency, and just watching him and his time, and every day he would make, you know, in the morning he would make time for scripture, and in the evening he'd make time for scripture, and just the hectic pace that he had compared to what I have, man, it's just, I feel so fortunate that is what I get to spend a lot of time thinking and talking and reading about Jesus. And that I think is in the music, obviously.
Again, talking with Crowder, the new CD is called American Prodigal. And tell us about the single, My Victory. Just love the message of that song.
I do, too. That's, you know, especially during this time of year, you know, Christmas, I think, gets all the props. And that's like it's a holiday that gets most of the love. But, man, one of my favorite is for sure Easter, especially getting to lead music. Most of the time I'm in, you know, either my church or somewhere on the road helping facilitate, you know, Easter Sunday singing. And so we'll sing these songs that I've been singing for the whole year. But all of a sudden on Easter, they turn into something defiant. You know, it's like, you know, fist to the air, death is swallowed up in victory, that kind of thing. Grave has not won. And that's just, I love it. I love it when you get to sing from that place of defiance. It's just something special about the church coming at an Easter Sunday. And for me, that song, My Victory, is getting to have Easter all year long. It's a pretty defiant song. I love it. You know, a cross made to kill is my victory. And, yes. And that's what gets me wound up.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Absolutely. And thanks again for including us. I sure appreciate it. Can't wait to get there.